Wow. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Diamond and Silk Chit Chat Live. I'm your host, Silk, and you are my co-host, my Diamond Dream Team. And as Diamond will always say, it takes a team to build a dream. So I want you to stop what you're doing right now. Yes, be sure to like and share this broadcast. Share it everywhere. Let them know that Silk is on the air. That's right, you all. Share it, share it, share it. Give it thumbs up. Yeah, you know, they'd be like, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. Like it, share it, thumbs up it. Yes. It's imperative that you do so, you all. Tonight, I am going to be talking to attorney Joseph McBride concerning a whole lot of different things, asking a lot of questions. And if you have any questions for the attorney, okay, be sure to post them in the chat. All right, post them in the chat, okay? When you post them in the chat, guess what? I'll ask the question, okay? If we have time, because I have a lot of questions myself, and y'all know I take first priority. Because I got to know some things, okay? So share, share, share. Don't forget to download the Frank Speech app. The Frank Social app is two different apps, and it's absolutely free. You all, shout out to everybody joining me live there on Getter Live, Rumble Live, Frank Speech Live, Twitter X Live, whatever live that you know. They just keep getting us with all of these doggone different names, but it's X Live, okay? Shout out to Lindell TV, RSBN Network, CTA TV, Stripes TV, Blessed News Network, Eagle News Network, and all of the different networks that is carrying the Diamond Silk Chit Chat Live show. Okay. All right. Don't forget that the show is sponsored by MyPillow.com, where you can get the MyPillow 2.0, the My Mattress Topper 2.0, the sheets, the slippers, the towels, the loungewear, and so much more. Use promo code Diamond. Okay. Don't forget about the My Coffee at My Store. I always say that the best part to waking up is not being woke, but being awake. Yes, being awake with My Coffee. So don't be hasty. Go on over there, get you something tasty at mystore.com. Use promo code Diamond. And while you're over there, you all, there are so many other American-based businesses over there that you can support. That's right. We have to start supporting our own. Okay. So go over there to mystore.com. All right. Even the book, the Diamond and Silk book, is over there, Uprising. Who the hell said you can't ditch and switch to Awakening of Diamond and Silk? Get the book right there at mystore.com. Use promo code Diamond or promo code Trump won. Because y'all know he won it. He did win it. All right. The show is also sponsored by PatchThat.com. That's right. PatchThat.com. Fast acting and non-addictive, convenient and easy. No drugs, no chemicals or stimulants are involved. You all, this is photo light therapy. Okay. It's been amazing to me. All right. And I believe that it can be amazing for you. So you can go to patchthat.com. If you are interested in becoming a brand partner, go to patchthat.info. Okay. Patchthat.info. Don't forget to support my other sponsors and affiliates at diamondandsilkstore.com and get the bumper stickers. We want Trump. I heard a lot of that today. We want Trump 4 more years. We love Trump. Let me tell you something. My man knows what he's doing. He got this, you all. It's going to backfire in their face with the way that they're trying to prosecute and persecute President Donald J. Trump. The people see and knows exactly what's going on. Yes, diamondandsilkstore.com. All right. Now, before we go another further, okay, you all, once again, if you have any questions, post them in the chat. Post them in the chat, and my moderators will get your questions. And I want to let everybody know, I know y'all probably hear it in my voice, I'm a little under the weather. I'm a little under the weather, but guess what? I'm here. I am here. Okay. All right, I am still here. So I may have to put my little halls in my mouth. And if I do, then I do. And if I start coughing, then I'll just mute my mic. Okay. But I'm still gonna have this conversation tonight. All right. Now, before we get started, I have a video clip that I want to show everybody. So you all sit back and relax and watch this. Please play clip one.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son has graduated from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student, and I'm very proud of the fact that he did so well. I was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought for trial. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues, and it continues forever. And we're not going to be given a fair trial. It's a very, very sad thing. In addition, as you know, next Thursday, we're before the United States Supreme Court on a very big hearing on immunity. And this is something that we've been waiting for a long time. And the judge, of course, is not going to allow us. He's a very conflicted judge. And he's not going to allow us to go to that. He won't allow me to leave here for a half a day, go to D.C. and go before the United States Supreme Court, because he thinks he's superior, I guess, to the Supreme Court. We got a real problem with this judge. We have a real problem with a lot of things having to do with this trial, including the DA, because you go right outside and people are being mugged and killed all day long, and he's sitting here all day with about 10 or 12 prosecutors over nothing, over nothing, over what people say shouldn't be a trial. So I just want to thank you very much, but that I can't go to my son's graduation, or that I can't go to the United States Supreme Court, that I'm not in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina campaigning like I should be, it's perfect for the radical left Democrats. That's exactly what they want. This is about election interference. That's all it's about. Thank you very much.
It is straight up election interference. Not only is it a scam, I feel like it's a colluded scam. That's right. It's a colluded scam. So here to talk about the prosecution and the attacks on President Donald J. Trump and the use of 18 U.S.C. 1512 C2 against only J6 protesters, which I call J6 hostages. Please welcome to the show, you all, Attorney Joseph McBride. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? It is good to see you again.
Wow. And likewise, I thank you so, so much for coming on the show to answer my questions. But before we get started, I want you to please tell the audience a little bit about yourself. You know, why did you become a lawyer?
I became an attorney in response to my brother Anthony's wrongful conviction. My brother was wrongfully accused of a crime in 2005 that he did not commit. He was forced into taking a plea after being held for days in police custody without meaningful representation. This is my adopted brother. He's paranoid schizophrenic. Outside the presence of meaningful counsel, he was threatened with 125 years of incarceration. He was tricked into signing a plea deal for 15 years of imprisonment. And it changed my life. It changed my family's life. And I went home that night, watched my mom and dad, my brother just broken on the couch. I said I had to do something. So I resolved to become an attorney, primarily to attempt to get my brother out of prison. And then I committed my life toward helping people who the criminal justice system maliciously and unfairly targeted since that time.
Wow. And I heard you are a beast.
That's the word on the street.
That's what I had heard. Okay, so before we get into the J6 side of this, I want to just quickly talk about President Donald J. Trump and the prosecution that I see going on. You know, in 2022, Hillary Clinton quietly settled a campaign finance violation over reporting the Steele dossier funding as legal services. She paid a fine and was never arrested. Biden committed campaign finance violations and paid a fine, was never arrested. Barack Hussein Obama committed campaign finance violations paid a fine. In 1998, Bill Clinton paid Paula Jones $850,000 in a civil settlement. I'm still wondering if he used American tax dollars to pay that particular settlement. So, you know, that's a good reason for our Republican Judiciary Committee to call Bill Clinton in so that we could talk about that hush up money payment. But now in 2017, which was 7 years ago, Trump, as he stated, was paying a lawyer who was Michael Cohen and marked it down as legal expense. And even though the statute of limitation had passed, and even though the FEC, you know, of course, that's federal, okay, Trump is indicted for making a payment to his lawyer. And of course, I know they have these chumped up charges, okay? And the same people who walk around and say no one is above the law has basically weaponized the laws against their political opponent. And I clearly call this election interference. So what are your thoughts about what you see actually happening to President Donald J. Trump? And why isn't the Republican Congress doing anything about it, especially since a lot of his constitutional rights are being violated?
It's a great question. Before I say anything about the Clintons, I want to say that I will never kill myself.
Yeah, I love my life too.
I'm a sound mind, body, and health, and I love my life very much.
Amen. Look,
you know, this is par for the course in terms of politics, right? You have these fines that are paid all the time. They're paid generationally. That track record that you just gave will go back 150 years in terms of presidents who pay fines, get a slap on the wrist for violating one campaign financing law or another. And then when you get to President Donald J. Trump, everything changes. All of a sudden, he's being treated like public enemy number one, as if he's Osama bin Laden, so on and so forth. They're doing this because of his politics. They're doing this because he puts America first. They're doing this because he speaks his mind and he speaks for the American people. And they're doing this because they hate him and they fear him very, very much. In terms of why is he not getting the help that he needs in Congress from the majority of the Republicans who are there? The answer is simple. The majority of the Republicans who are in Congress are absolutely horrific. They absolutely suck. They don't care about you. Yeah. They don't care about me. They don't care about President Trump. They care about the money in their pockets. They care about their corporate lobbyists. And they care about, they have more in common with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer than they do with you, me, President Trump, or the bunch of people we've seen chanting 4 more years in Harlem today. President Trump represents the heartbeat of America, the heartbeat of reform, the heartbeat of American exceptionalism and putting America first. They want to put America last. They hate you. They hate me. They hate this country. They want to destroy it. He's calling them out round the clock about it. And that's what this is about. It's all politics.
It's all politics. Yeah. And these, and the Republicans that you describe, I call them trans Democrats. They're actually, they're trans Republicans because they're actually Democrats identifying as Republicans. So they're trans Republicans. And, you know, they fear him. That's why they smear him. Okay.
That's right.
I got all of that. But I don't like the fact that we actually see that it's not fair. We can see the two-tier justice system. And if they want to talk about hush-up money, okay, we have a Congress right now that have a hush-up slush fund against Congress members who have been accused of any type of sexual assault or what have you against them. And this hush-up slush fund is American tax dollars that's being used to hush up the accusers. But I don't see anybody. We don't even know who these people are. And as American taxpayers, we should at least know who's being accused and who the accusers are if our money is being used to pay off these accusers. Now, when it comes down to this unconstitutional gag order that they have against my president, you have people that have gotten there and have accused President Trump of a crime, but tell him basically, you can't speak about it. You can't say nothing about this right here, but we have accused you of this particular a crime. He has a First Amendment right, a constitutional right, all right, to speak and say what he needs to say, especially when it comes down to defending himself. How is it that these individuals can actually sit there, especially a judge, okay, and violate his constitutional right in front of all of us and put him under a gag order where he can't say nothing, and if he do, you know, we can fine you this and we can fine you that. I thought that the Constitution was supposed to protect our rights to be able to speak freely, not for a judge to be able to come in and say, you can't say nothing, you can't speak. Well, I mean, you know, where they do that at? I didn't know we was a third world country already. So how can they do that? And how is it that, like I said, nobody is speaking out about that, that can help him, especially since his constitutional right is basically being violated?
Yeah, you know, you made a bunch of great points there. I would be remiss to point out that the first and foremost, the criminal justice system is often extremely unfair to everybody who finds itself within its the tractor beam of its Death Star. It doesn't treat people kindly generally. But when the criminal justice system targets a group of people, or God forbid, an individual for a political purpose, it becomes even more pronounced. It becomes even more dangerous. So what you have here is a series of indictments across the country. And in certain cases, there have been these gag orders where President Trump is being inhibited from speaking about his case in public for completely unjustifiable reasons. What is this really about? This is about election interference. This is about him being accused of nefarious crimes, which are objectively false. There's no factual basis for these crimes whatsoever. But the process is the punishment. And part of the process is they inhibit his ability to say, hey, this is all a bunch of crap. He should be able to say that at every turn and in every corner. Number one, because he's a free American citizen who's innocent until proven guilty. And number two, by the way, he is the leading candidate for the Republican nomination. He's got the nomination locked up. He's probably going to be president again. And they're doing everything they can do to shut him up. But we know, look, every time they try to do something, all they really do is magnify his power. If they were looking to turn him into Mandela, well, then they're doing one hell of a job. Because I haven't seen a president who's been this type of political prisoner since Mandela during his time. They're turning President Trump day by day into a stronger figure, into a folk hero. For people or populations and groups of people who previously didn't support him, because love him or hate him, at some point, good people don't like to see injustice. And everybody knows that what's happening to President Trump is very unfair. And he's becoming more strong. He's becoming more powerful. He's becoming more likable because of this.
Yeah.
This is going to blow up in their face. And they're not going to be able to recover from this come November 5th.
You know, I've been looking through some videos, and it was later on, so it was too late for me to send it over because I just saw it, where you have President Trump out there in the streets going to the bodega and to different places, and how you have even the children, I love you, Trump, and people there loving President Donald J. Trump. And so I was just sitting there with a smile on my face. I'm like, you know what the devil meant for evil, God always turn it around for our good. And you know, they're trying to restrict his means to be able to campaign. But every time they have him on TV, every time they're reporting on him, every time they showing him with a crowd of people, okay, that came there on their own just to see him, just to get a whiff of him, you know what? That's part of his campaign. And they don't even realize it. And guess what? He ain't even spending no money out to rent out no buildings to do so. Now, this is a criminal conspiracy and a violation of my civil rights to be able to vote for the candidate of my choice. Because I feel like the same people that want to talk about voter suppression is suppressing my right to be able to vote for the candidate of my choice. Okay. They want to put this, the demonic, pedophilia looking imbecile in my face and say, okay, this is what we want you to vote for. Okay. And it's ridiculous. But now I got a strong man here that wants to protect the country, want to protect the border, want to protect American citizens, want America to be first. And you want to tell me to look the other way. It's a doggone shame. Now you have Jim Crow Joe Biden. He is on tape admitting that he had classified documents downstairs to his ghostwriter. Okay. According to the impeachment inquiry testimony, right? He had that. He was not president. He was not president whenever he took those documents and different things, right? But then the DOJ came back and said, you know, he was not mentally fit to stand trial. So if he's not mentally fit to stand trial, how the hell is he mentally fit to run a country? Okay.
He's not.
Because after looking at our country right now, it looked like somebody who is not mentally fit is running it. All of these different wars, it's like everything that they touch, everything that they say they're going to do just burns right on up. It's like we just in a fiery furnace is what it appears truly to be. So when I look at that, and we know that this man had classified documents, Jim Crow Joe Biden, how is it that the Republican Congress won't come back in and say, well, he got to be mentally fit if he's still running the country? Why can't they bring him in on the fact that we know that he did have classified information?
They don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care. They just want stuff to get President Trump. If it's Joe Biden, if it's Hillary Clinton, if it's Bill Clinton, if it's Barack Obama, they're going to be able to do whatever they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it. If President Trump does any of the same things, they're going to go after him, throw the whole kitchen sink at him, and see what sticks. This is about trying to drain his bank account, trying to prevent him from ever being elected again. Because as we know, the first time that President Trump was in office, we had no wars. The economy was going through the roof. America was a good place. Everybody loved us in the world again, and the world was a safer place. President Trump knows how these people operate, but he doesn't participate in their groups. He doesn't go to any of their weirdo parties, and he loves God and loves America before he loves any of these people, and they hate him because of it. So at the end of the day, all they're going to try to do is to prohibit him from entering office again, because they know that he could have gone harder on them the first time around. But he gave some of these people a pass because, hey, this is how things work. But if he gets back in this time, well, Lord have mercy on these people, because they're all going to be in a whole lot of trouble, and they know it. So, look, it's a two-tier justice system, and they don't care about justice. They just care about pinning the tail on a donkey and making sure he never, ever steps in the White House ever again.
Yeah, and I understand he did a lot of different things, because he said it was for the good of the country. He didn't want people up in an uproar. He didn't want that, okay? It was for the good of the country. But now, for us to sit here and watch a judge say that he can't go to his son's graduation, you know, he can't. It's like you're trying to treat him like he's like some common criminal, and like it's going to be a problem for him to go to the graduation. He got to sit right there. And you're summoning him. You're actually weaponizing your authority to take and restrict this grown behind man from as if he's not responsible enough to go to his son's graduation and then come back to the courtroom. That's ridiculous. And I don't understand that if I was in his position, that I will abide by the judge rules. They would have to just lock me up, because I will be going to my son's graduation. And because I just don't see no law that is going to prevent him from doing that, even though just judge said he can't do it. Where is the law that says that President Trump can't go to his son's graduation? So that's my spiel. What's your thoughts?
So, you know, when I first started my career, I was a public defender at the Manhattan Legal Aid Society, and I worked in that courtroom. And in the courtrooms around Center Street for a long time. And I saw often in those cases, often it was poor people, black and Latino men who didn't have the money to pay for a good representation. They were treated horribly by those judges. They were looked at as criminals, sometimes for the color of their skin, sometimes for the economic class that they came from, sometimes because of their own personal history. And often these men would plead with me and they would say, Joe, Mr. McBride, I have this, I have my son's graduation, I have a baptism, I have my brother's wedding, I have my mother's wake. And I would see the judges 9 out of 10 times absolutely not care about these people or their personal lives, just treat them as subhuman. Like, you're in the system, you don't matter. Like you said, a common criminal, right? Now, we have a former president of the United States being treated the same way. It is wrong in both sets of circumstances. It is particularly egregious in President Trump's case, given the fact that he's a former president and presidents should be treated a certain way. But it does raise an important point that the criminal justice system does need oversight, that these judges should be removed from the bench and impeached more regularly, and that people should pay attention to justice, because justice in this country is not blind. And this is the byproduct, the unfortunate consequence of having a politicized justice system that hates some people, loves other people, and carries out those consequences in court.
And it's like a slap in the American people's face. You know, I've been living all of this long time, and these are the rules and the laws that you say that we need to abide by, and not just to see you break every rule. Just to see the statute of limitation is gone, and you saying, well, we don't care that the statute of limitation is gone. We're still going to figure out a way to create and make this here be look like a felony, like this, you know, so the people could think that he's just such a bad guy. While you got real criminals that's out there killing people, cutting up their bodies, putting it in duffel bags and so forth, and nobody seemed to be doing absolutely nothing about it. It's like, we could just give them bails. We could just reduce that to a misdemeanor and just let them go. But President Trump is like, you know, we got to keep him right here. So it's really disturbing with what I see. It's one more thing I want to talk about before we get into the J6, because I have a lot of questions for the J6. This Pfizer thing where the Congress, Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, where they've gone in to say that the FBI can surveil American citizens without a warrant. Okay, I understand my Fourth Amendment right with illegal search and seizures and different things. I got all of that, right? But no law is supposed to supersede the Constitution, all right? And so if no law is supposed to supersede the Constitution, that means that Congress can't go in and make up a law and say, all right, everybody, you got to hand over your guns, even though the Constitution is supposed to protect us to be able to bear arms. How is it that the Congress can give the okay for the FBI to basically violate our Constitution and it be okay if no law or rule is supposed to supersede our Constitution?
So that's a great question. I'm gonna explain how it works. We got to go back in time in order to understand this. We got to go back to 9/11. After 9/11 happened, we gave the federal government incredible power because we were afraid. We were afraid that, you know, 19 guys training on a jungle gym in some faraway land levied this attack against the United States and ruined everything. And because the federal government and the media, their complex, their relationship, convinced us all to be afraid of a certain group of people, we were taught to, if you see something, say something, and that in the name of fighting terrorism, that we should give up some of our rights. So we had the creation of the Department of the Homeland Security, increase in the NSA and other agencies, the CIA, the Men in Black, whoever, right? But this is the way it works. If you are somebody who's a member of the international community and you are suspected of terrorism, they can look at you and access your information, access your belongings, even go into your home and search your home if you're here without a warrant. Okay, fine. They're not American citizens, so maybe they're not entitled to the same rights and protections as we are. But here's the catch. If you are an American citizen who is connected to any one of these people who are under surveillance for terrorism, whatever that means these days, right? Mm-hmm. They can also look at you as an extension of them without a warrant. Without a warrant, so they go into these FISA courts in Washington D.C. and they make these applications for the warrantless searches of American citizens. We had initially thought that, as a country, that this was something that was supposed to be used in very limited circumstances. But then we found out a few years ago that the FBI targeted something like 3 to 5 million, the FBI, the NSA, 3 to 5 million warrantless searches against United States citizens. So this is how, that's the genesis of how this happened. And now it went from being the international terrorist model to the January 6er domestic terrorist model. So if you're a terrorist of any kind, they can look at you, and they are looking at you absent a warrant. It is a flagrant, egregious, disgusting violation of your Fourth Amendment right, my Fourth Amendment right, and every other American citizen's Fourth Amendment right to live a life free of unreasonable intrusions, searches, and seizures from the government and its agents. But it is happening on a regular basis. I was disappointed to see that Speaker Johnson signed off on the continuation of it for 2 years. I know him to be a good man and a God-fearing man. His reasoning is that he's seen some things in his highly classified security briefings that justify the decision. I think that the decision is unjustifiable. I disagree with his decision to do it, and I'm sad that it happened. And that this is the situation that we find ourselves in because of it.
Well, you know, I'm just going to give you my opinion, because I'm just going to do a Jen Psaki and circle back on that. I don't think that he's fearing God. I think he's fearing the deep state. I feel like he's being blackmailed here. At the end of the day, it's still my constitutional right for them not to violate it, even though everything that you just explained, it don't rise to reason for them to search American citizens when they are allowing terrorists to actually come through our open borders. They have it wide open for terrorists to come through, and I don't see them searching out the terrorists that's coming through our borders, but to take and harass American citizens. Now, in my own mind eye, I feel like that they wanted to put this in there so that American citizens won't sue the FBI, for the simple fact, just like Mike Lindell, whenever they took and got his cell phone, they had to surveil him in order to know where he was at. And that was illegal with what they did. They violated his constitutional right. So now they want to make it harder for him to sue them by saying, okay, well, the Congress gave us the okay, or the Patriot Act, it gives us the okay. We don't need no warrant in order to search you. But still, we have the Constitution that's supposed to protect us from all of this nefarious stuff. When do our Constitution actually kick in, sir, where these people can't run amok on me because I'm a Trump supporter? You see, they were just talking about, I know I asked that question. They were just talking about how the FBI was going after Trump's Twitter posts and Twitter page, okay, from back in the day. Well, Diamond and Silk, we are President Trump's most loyal supporter. He followed Diamond and Silk, and Diamond and Silk followed President Trump. So, you know, was I being surveilled? And if I was, hey, can I go after them for violating my constitutional right? Now you have the floor.
Can you go after them? They make it nearly impossible because of qualified immunity and because of all the exceptions to all these laws. If you look at the United States like a corporation, a private corporation with the Constitution as its governing document, then all of this stuff makes sense. But like when a corporation goes from private to public, it has shareholders, right? In the United States, you have one party who respects the Constitution. That is the Republican Party to some extent. And then you have another party who has sold their shares in America to China and this one and that one and everywhere else, right? And that's why they don't care about the Constitution. They don't respect it because their shareholders are communists and corporate overlords in other countries who do not care about this country, who hate this country and want to see it destroyed. That's the genius of President Trump. He knows both sides. He sits in there in the middle and he sticks up for people like you, people like me. He says, I know what you're up to. Not going to stand for it. And that's why they want him either dead or in jail.
Wow. That was a very great response. Thank you so much for breaking that down, because you're absolutely right when you break down that scenario with that analogy, because that's exactly what's going on. And so that when we talk about Speaker Johnson, he called himself a Christian, but he's funding abortions, full-term abortions. He's funding for men to be able to chop off their woodpeckers. You know, he's funding this stuff. And so I'm just like, okay, what kind of Christian is this supposed to be? No, it's a blackmail Christian. That's how I look at it. But anywho, now let's get on down to the DOJ and the weaponization and I feel misapplied statute in the J6 cases. It appears that this particular statute, 18 U.S.C. 1512 C2, is only being used against the J6 individuals who protest the fraudulent election back in 2020. Okay, and so I remember my sister and I talking about this, where they was using this particular rule to try to give people up to 20 years for this. So I'm so grateful that this is in SCOTUS, in the Supreme Court, and they are talking about this, because this is just totally wrong. We had Black Lives Matter, we had Antifa, we had in the burned down cities, killed people, destroyed different things, and you had Kamala Harris and their group to take and bail these individuals out, all right? I ain't see no statute be used. I saw them go in whenever Kavanaugh was being sworn in there, or, you know, when he, you know, put to be the one of the Supreme Court judges and different things. You had them in the hearing, disturbing the hearing, interrupting the hearing, protesting inside on the floor. But I don't recall this here particular statute being used to it. So let's tell the audience to break it real on, you know, down for everybody. What does this particular statute actually mean? Let's start there.
So USC 18, sub 1512 subsection, 18 USC 1512 C2, right? This was created in response to Enron. It's important in Enron. There was all this document shredding that happened. And it's important to notice that the application of this statute has never, ever been used for any other reason. It's only been used for the destruction of evidence, tampering witnesses, so on and so forth. This is the first time since the inception of this statute that it's been used for assault of conduct, for political speech, whatever you want to call it, right? So why is that happening now? It's happening now because, like the analogy that you gave earlier, with all these presidents who were before Trump, they did this conduct, and now they're hitting him over the head they're trying to hit him with jail time and fines for something that other people have done. They have illegally expanded the scope of this statute to go from what's called a catch-all provision to a dragnet to bring into the fold of the Department of Justice, their prosecutorial apparatus, thousands of people who went to the Capitol on January 6th for the specific purpose of suppressing speech. Now, when you look at the statute, the entire statute is about the destruction of evidence or witness tampering, right? And if you look at it, 18 U.S. Code 1512, the actual name of the statute is tampering with the witness, victim, or an informant. So the idea then becomes, if you went to the Capitol and tampered with a witness, or tampered with evidence, or tampered with an informant of some kind, well, then you should be on the hook for this charge. Did anybody who went to the Capitol do any of that? Absolutely not. So how are they on the hook for this charge? They're on the hook for this charge because they have expanded the definition of what of this term called otherwise obstructs. It's subsection 2. Subsection 1 says alters, destroys, mutilates, conceals a record or a document, or attempts to do so with the intent to impair the integrity of evidence. This has to do with the second part where it says, or otherwise obstructs or influences. You have to read these two together. This is, it's boring and it's technical. It's like this. If a statute says, you shall not kill, punch, maim, or otherwise hurt a person, right? That makes sense. This statute says you should not destroy, impede, or destroy or harm evidence of or otherwise harm evidence of any kind. They're taking that otherwise conduct and they're saying, well, because you showed up to the Capitol and you got in the way of an electoral count, that somehow qualifies. It's objectively wrong. It makes absolutely no sense. But because the district court judges for the first 2 years of these cases dismissed all of our motions to say this is inappropriate, hundreds and hundreds of January 6ers went to prison. They went to prison wrongfully. Finally, one judge, Judge Nichols, said, hey, wait a second. Taking a look at the statute here, it does not apply to assaultive conduct. It applies to kind of evidence tampering, and that's wrong. Yeah. That's number one. Number two is the length, and this is technical, so I'm going to talk a little slower. It has to do with the official proceeding. The official proceeding has to be a type of proceeding where it's either in the judiciary branch, the judicial branch, where it's a grand jury, it's a jury selection, it's a trial, it's a hearing. You have evidence, you have lawyers, you have judges. Well, that's the other. No, it wouldn't be like what Justice Kavanaugh is doing, right? So it's a little confusing because they use this term official proceeding. But what it really means is it's either, number one, a judicial proceeding, like a regular court proceeding like President Trump is in, or a congressional proceeding where they're calling people for evidence. Could be like Kavanaugh, more like the January 6th committee, where they're proffering evidence, they're calling witnesses, and they're putting on this production in front of the world where witnesses and evidence are necessary. So the idea is if you interfere with something like that, then you should be on the hook. Everything else doesn't qualify for an official proceeding. So what does that mean? That means that the electoral count that took place on January 6th is not the type of proceeding that this statute is talking about. And if it's not the type of proceeding, then it doesn't work. The whole thing's got to go away.
Okay. Real quick, Enron. Okay, real quick. Can you tell me what happened with Enron?
Well, really quick, with Enron, this has to do with document shredding. In anticipation of litigation, in anticipation of having to go to court, lots of people who were parties to Enron or involved in the corporation, they knew that they were in trouble, so they began to destroy evidence. And they could not be charged according to the way the statute was written at that time. So they rewrote the statute to make sure that the next time an Enron happened, that those people would be properly on the hook. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Now it brings me to Hillary Rodham Clinton, because didn't she destroy her cell phone? She took a hammer to destroy her cell phone, bleach bit to destroy evidence. As
3,000 emails. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So would this particular statute have applied to her doing an investigation?
It would apply to her way more accurately than it applies to January 6ers. Unequivocally, yes. Yes, it would certainly apply to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just had to just bring that up. Yeah. Now, let's really, really quick, and I'm going to get back to this here particular statute, because you said something about the J6 committee and the way that it was set up from my understanding, it was not even set up accurately or correct or even legally. Okay. But they still went through with their production. But at the end of the day, Mr. Attorney, they destroyed evidence. They destroyed evidence in that particular case. They destroyed video evidence in that particular case. And with them destroying the evidence that could have exonerated a lot of individuals, isn't that tampering with evidence. I'm not talking about the statue. I'm just saying in general now. I'm just asking a question.
You are deadly accurate in what you're saying. The answer is yes. It's tampering. It's the destruction of evidence, and they destroyed it in anticipation of a second January 6th committee happening with the Republican Congress. So they did it for the specific purpose of inhibiting part two of the January 6th proceedings. And by doing so, they cut the legs off of the Republicans who went in and said, okay, we want to open this case. We want to open the January 6th proceedings up again. We want to take a look at the evidence to see it for ourselves. Oh, by the way, it's all gone. Right? So they did exactly what they're accusing everybody else of doing, but there's no accountability for it.
I'm about to say, because if it actually happened, if the evidence is all gone, then that means all of these J6 political hostages should be all gone out of their prison system. You know, because what about the evidence for them?
In a perfect world. And that is a lot of the, we've made those arguments ad nauseum in the court, but you know, they've fallen on deaf ears. The way that these prosecutions have worked, it's DC is such a small place. It would be like having the 9/11 hijackers, if they had lived, all tried by the people who lived in Lower Manhattan, south of Canal Street, right? They would have never gotten a fair trial because everybody in New York is a victim, never mind the people who were at ground zero, right? Washington, D.C. is one big ground zero for January 6th. And if you're not a President Trump supporter, 96% of the people in D.C. Support Biden, then you are by definition a victim if you view this as an insurrection. And because of this, there's no accountability. Everybody's sort of in cahoots with each other. They vertically integrated the justice system there, politicized it. It's bad for everybody, and it's impossible to get a fair trial there.
That's right. Yeah. We have a question coming in from the chat. How will the J6ers be impacted by the oral argument presented to the Supreme Court?
That's a great question. So there are over 300 people who have been convicted of the 1512 charge. Many of these people, a significant portion of these people, the 1512 is the only felony they either pled guilty to or blew at trial, meaning that they had the 1512 as a felony, the most serious charge, and all misdemeanors underneath it. Some of these people have been in jail for over a year or have heavy sentences. If the 1512 charge gets overturned, all those people are going to get out. Every last one of them. If you've got just misdemeanor charges and the 1512 and you've been in jail for over a year, you're out right away. There's going to be a bunch of other people who are going to have to be resentenced because, again, the 1512 charge is the most serious case that they were charged that they were convicted of.
What does it mean for President Donald J. Trump? You know, they're trying to say that, you know, he's responsible for what they call an insurrection. So I'm going to circle back to that question because I just want to say this right here, that I was speaking to someone. And they kept saying, oh, the insurrection. So I just stopped with my conversation. And I was really nice. And I asked, do you know what the definition of an insurrection, you know, was? And the person stated and said, yeah, it's the overturning of the government. So I said, so what government has been overturned? Oh, well, they breached the Capitol. I said, no, we're talking about the definition of an insurrection. And so what government has been overturned? Okay. Just to make them think about something, because they're so used to the media just saying insurrection and calling it an insurrection when it was not. And I think that that's character assassination, that people should be able, when they're talking about somebody and they're describing them as an insurrectionist, especially if they hadn't been charged as an insurrectionist, I believe that they should be able to sue those individuals for defamation. So now back to President Trump. What does this mean for President Donald J. Trump comes down to the statute?
If you look at President Trump's indictment, two of the four obstruction charges that he has are 1512 subsection C2 C2 charges. So if Supreme Court overturns this, it's going to cut the indictment in half for Jack Smith. President Trump's case is going to be the case against President Trump will become significantly weaker. President Trump will become immediately stronger. Jack Smith will become immediately weaker. And President Trump's chances for survival will increase significantly in D.C. court.
Yeah. It's so sad that they basically hog tie you so that you have to spend all of this money just to get to a higher court to prove that what they've done is totally illegal. Okay. You know, and this is when Trump get in, this won't even have to be about revenge. It's the fact that these people have broken the law. And he need to start with Alvin, and who looked like he done ate Simon and Theodore. He need to start with his ass first. And because what he's done is wrong, is against the statute of limitation. Now, real quick, before I let you go, darling, you know, let's talk real quick about the raids and the different arrests, the way that the FBI go in and break into to people's homes and different things and violate their constitutional rights. What are your thoughts about the people that had to endure and suffer the break-in of the FBI into their home?
They are victims of the consequences of living in a police state, in a militarized state. About 10, 12 years ago, mainly lefty activists, ACLU and other places were saying, hey, you should pay attention to the fact that local police stations are now filling themselves up with all types of militarized gear and tanks. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? You know, oh, this is, you know, to combat terrorism. This is to combat, you know, national security measures, blah, blah, blah. And there was a call to action. People said, hey, if they ever use this stuff against you, we're going to be in a whole lot of trouble. Fast forward to 2021, and you have the FBI and the Joint Terrorism Task Force from around the country showing up and doing pre-dawn raids at all types of people's homes. Happened to all of my clients. Ryan Nichols, it happened to his home. It happened to another guy, Joe Bolanos, who I'm representing. Joe Bolanos, they showed up at his pre-dawn raid at his mother's house and at his house simultaneously. He was nearly 70 years old at the time. They held him downstairs after raiding his house for 4 hours in the truck, and he stroked out. He stroked out, and he's had four or five other strokes since that time. He's a shell of his former self. And get this, they never even arrested him. They just showed up, kicked in his door, went to his mother's house. He stroked out. They ruined his life. They ruined his health, and they never even arrested him. But that's why we're suing them. We're suing them in Joe Bolano's case because they should have never done that. They were wrong for what they did, and we're going to make sure that we hold them accountable for what they did to him and how they destroyed his life.
Yeah, it's a lot of people that's going through that, and then when they get to the police station, they want to strip search them. And I'm like, how are they able to even strip search them? Isn't that even illegal search and seizure right there? Just searching the individual, because what have they been arrested for? You know, they haven't been found guilty of anything. One more quick question. Okay, I got one more quick, well, maybe two. Okay. An individual who is being held for a bond hearing, okay, have not had a bond hearing, and they've been held, all right, are they supposed to be held in jail or in prison? Or is there a law where they're supposed to be held at?
They're not supposed to be held in prison. If you look at the way that pretrial detainees were treated up until January 5th, and then how they were treated January 6th going onward, they changed the entire law for January 6ers. It used to be, are you a danger to society, danger to yourself, or flight risk? If you're not dangerous or if you're not a flight risk, everybody gets let out in the federal system. Everybody. So basically, you have to be Hannibal Lecter, El Chapo, Bin Laden, or even John Gotti got out. You got to be one of these guys really, really, really bad in order for them to lock you up. January 6th came. They locked everybody up. The vast majority of these guys were held in solitary confinement for the first 11, 12 months, the whole time. Some guys are still being held to this day. Some guys haven't even had their trials yet. It's an egregious and disgusting violation of their Fifth Amendment rights, due process rights, and their Eighth Amendment rights against cruel and unusual punishment. Should not have happened ever, but it did.
Somebody's going to have to go ahead on and get sued, because I was asking that question. I was curious about that. If somebody is being held in pretrial as a pretrial detainee, I thought they was is held there in the jail until they go to, you know, get their bail or what have you. I didn't know that they actually go straight to the prison, go to solitary confinement and go through all of this process. One more quick question. What about the inhumane conditions of the J-Sitzers where they're finding maggots in their food? Isn't that food poisoning? I mean, what happens to these individuals? Can they eventually turn around, I'm pretty sure, write a book and sue? I got 1 minute.
Sure. So look, the conditions of confinement that are in these prisons are egregious on a good day. When it comes to the January Sixers, they opened up the Patriot Wing in D.C. jail. It hadn't been open in years. Rust, mold, rats, mice, lice, you name it, it's all there. They put these guys there to torture them. They put these guys there to break them. Yeah. It's a horrible violation of their rights. We are suing. I'm suing in some cases. Other lawyers are suing in others. It's going to take time. We need the world to support us in these missions.
Yes.
It's not easy, but we won't give up. We'll never give in. We'll never surrender. We're going to keep fighting until God calls us home.
That's right. And you all, be sure to follow Attorney McBride at McBride Law NYC. That's McBride Law NYC on social media, on Twitter, X, and Instagram as well. Mr. McBride, Attorney McBride, thank you so much for being on the show, and I'll be sure to have you back as questions arise. God bless you, sir. Thank you.
God bless you, too.
Wow. Incredible, you all. So make sure you all keep everybody in prayer. Listen, every day at 11:21 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we start what we're doing and we pray. I pray for you. You pray for me. Pray for President Donald J. Trump. You all pray for his family and pray for God to heal the land. So in the meantime and in between time, I look forward to seeing you next time right here on Diamond and Toe Chit Chat Live. Bye-bye.
Diamond and Silk.
Mm-hmm.
Join us Monday through Fridays, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on frankspeech.com, Lindell TV, with Diamond and Silk Chit Chat Live.
That's right.
Oh, it be going down over here.
You know.
That's Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Uh-huh.
Hey.
Hey.
We want to see your face.
Your face.
In the place.
Boom.
About Grave Care, you all, where they break down healthcare barriers to save you time and money. Mm-hmm. Go to gravecare.com, use promo code Trump1 to sign up for your first bundle. If you're having problems when it comes to these hospitals, when it comes to these doctors, it's not just about the pandemic, it can be about anything. Gravecare.com, use promo code Trump1 to receive a discount. Also, don't forget about the Hypochlorous body spray.
Yes.
If you want to keep pathogens, viruses, and bacteria at bay, go to cbspray.com and get your hypochlorous spray. If you haven't gotten your potassium iodine, if you need hydroxychloroquine, or if you need ivermectin, go to drstellamd.com.
Yes.
And we've been talking about the circulatory system, or how it affects and impacts everything. Go over there to the Dr. Artist Show. Mm-hmm. and pick up you something for that. Everything, use promo code Trump1. Now listen, I know with everything I said, I don't want you to get a little hasty, but I want you to go over there and get you some tasty at mystore.com. Get the My Coffee, the pods. They are available. Even get you a nice coffee cup. You can get that at mystore.com. Use promo code Trump1 to receive a discount. That's mystore.com.
Right. I say the best part to waking up is not being woke, but being awake with my coffee.
I love it, y'all. I love it. So make sure. Also, don't forget about mypillow.com. Yes. Use promo code Trump1 to receive up to 66% off your entire purchase over there. Don't forget about our book, UprisingMyStore.com. Promo code Trump1. Don't forget about our bumper sticker and our t-shirt.
Yes.
It took 2,000 mules to install one jackass. Mm-hmm. DiamondandSoup.com. Use promo code Trump1 as well.
Yeah.